Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Episode 7, Thriving in Modern Motherhood with Motherkind co-founder Zoe Blasky. Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high vibe, soul soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you. Zoe is a pregnancy teacher, certified coach, and meditation teacher. She is also trained in various self-development techniques and has a background in 12-step recovery. Zoe is on a mission to support mothers in connecting back to ourselves through the mayhem of modern motherhood. Through Motherkind, Zoe hosts the Motherkind podcast. She runs events, workshops, and offers one-to-one work for mums, all with the view to aim to help mums be the healthiest, happiest selves. I have the lovely Zoe from Motherkind today, and this one's a really interesting one because we're going to be doing Thriving in Modern Motherhood, which is obviously, I think all of the other ones I've done podcast-wise, I've kind of been in my depth, in my zone, but obviously not being a mum, this one's quite difficult for me. However, a lot of my friends have kids. That's all I want, is to just give up work and be a mum. So I'm super kind of interested to also ask from a point of view of maybe people that aren't mums. I don't want this to just be a podcast for those people that are mums, or maybe people that are thinking about becoming mums or trying to get pregnant, just to kind of know what they expect.
Yeah, and also a lot of what I talk about is quite universal for anyone, what I teach. So
exactly, because it's all around the kind of self-love, self-care. And I've been asking some of my friends as well, and I've just been watching some of my friends recently. I've been having conversations with them, or they've been over with their kids, and I'm just like watching them break down at times and break down in places. And a lot of my friends are quite young, and it's really interesting to see the rules and regulations that they think revolve around being what a mum is, or what they have to be, and having to be kind of perfect. So there's loads of lovely things we're going to touch on. But firstly, just tell us all about kind of your background, because you weren't always doing Motherkind, were you?
No, Motherkind's quite a new thing. So it's about 6 months old. So it's still a little tiny newborn.
Newborn, you're doing very well for a newborn. You're bloody really well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I've had sort of a bit, I call it like a bit of a parallel life, because I was in corporate world for 10 years in marketing. But while I was doing those jobs, every time I wasn't sort of there, I was doing something to do with my own personal development and growth. So I would like go on meditation retreats at the weekend and clearly not talk about it when I got back into my city.
Into your corporate city, the people that can't handle that conversation.
It's different now. I think, you know, when I first started getting into it 8-9 years ago, seriously into meditation, I was almost like embarrassed. I wouldn't talk about it. Now I feel the opposite. I feel proud.
Yeah. And I think that's still a bit of a taboo around it with some people. I think in my, don't know if it's in my industry or my age group, but a lot of people still take the mick that I meditate.
Yeah, maybe it's because I'm sort of out of that world. I'm in more of like a well-being bubble, maybe. But I feel like it's changing. And I think, you know, lots of corporates have well-being days now, which would never have happened when I was in the city.
Did you have your children when you were?
No, so I was sort of having this parallel life. So I got really into my own self-development and got fascinated by looking at my childhood and how that had some of the patterns had set me up for some unhappiness and some,
yeah.
you know, struggling with my relationship with myself. Mm-hmm. And so I've had loads of therapy around that. I got really into meditation. I got into yoga, and I decided that I would stick with my corporate career, but just for fun, I thought, just for fun, I'm going to start doing some training. Mm-hmm. So I trained as a coach, and I trained as a meditation teacher, and I trained in yoga. And all of that, and all of that, I think, and it was never my plan really, but all of that enabled me to leave that job, the city sort of corporate life, and I started doing freelance consulting. And during that time, I fell pregnant. And then I had an amazing journey through my pregnancy where I really, we were talking about it a bit before we started, but I really just felt guided. Mm-hmm. And all the while in the back of my head, I was thinking, I wonder if, you know, now that I'm a mum, could I do something more in the well-being? And originally I thought, to put my marketing and well-being together, I thought maybe I'd do a product or something like that. And then what happened was, during the first sort of 6-7 months of Jessie's life, I really struggled with my mental health, which was a real surprise to me.
Oh, so it kind of came out of nowhere for you.
Yeah, because I sort of thought I might struggle with the practicalities of being a mum, of course, because I've never done it. But I didn't think that I'd struggle on the mental side, because I, you know, I had such a strong understanding of myself.
Yeah,
I
knew you've done all that stuff.
Triggers
work.
Were, all my inner work. I was meditating every day, but what I saw was that I totally abandoned all of that stuff.
You kind of resisted it.
I just didn't do it. You know, and in some ways...
What, because you were busy or...
Yeah,
because,
I was tired. I was
I think that's when even, like, I don't know if everyone meditates that's listening, but, like, even for me, when I'm tired, my practices all just go out the window.
Yes.
And then it's like a vicious cycle,
times
wasn't
that
it?
By 100, and that's what it's like having a newborn. So I just didn't do it.
Mm.
And then one day I was just sat there and I just realised, like, all that old stuff, all that old thinking, as I call it, was coming back. So I was feeling less than, I was really getting stuck into compare and despair, so looking at other mums and thinking that I fell short of that. I was really struggling to feel any joy and happiness, even though it should be the time when I was feeling the most joyful. And I realised it was because I hadn't done all the things that I know I need to do to keep myself feeling happy and positive. So then I set about trying to fit it all in with having a 6-month-old, which I did.
Yeah.
And people started to ask me what I was doing, and other mums started to say, oh, you meditate, how do you fit that in? Or how do you do that? Or what does that look like? Or I'm so anxious, what do you do? And I realised that so many mums were struggling with the same thing that I was, particularly on the fear and anxiety side. There's nothing more triggering than having a baby, in my experience. If you've got any tendency towards fearful thinking, having a baby will, in my experience, really magnify that. So I just started helping a few friends, like really informally, doing a little bit of informal coaching, like talking about fear, teaching a little bit of meditation, really informally. And then I just had the idea, well, maybe I could make this into a thing.
Yeah.
And because of my marketing background, the first thing I did, I was like, well, I better do a survey. Yeah,
with a name.
Yeah,
and
I came up with a name.
We always do that, yeah.
It's trained in
It's so bad, though, because we sometimes don't let the magic happen. But yeah.
Yeah, although in my experience, because at that point, I did sort of feel quite guided into the kind. I was like, I'll do this survey. And, you know, I thought I'll get about 20 responses and that'll be fine. And I got like hundreds and hundreds. So in a way, I felt like at every step, doors were
opening. It just was meant to be.
Yeah, and it was meant to be. And the results of that survey were like, I was still sort of on the fence about it. Should I do this? Who am I? I had a lot of imposter syndrome. And the results...
Who am I?
Who am I to do this?
It's the worst thing. It's the thief of all joy, I think.
Isn't it?
People say comparison, but I actually think who am I?
Who am I?
And the fear of being great is like...
I had it really strongly. And yet, on paper, I was probably one of the best placed people ever to do this. Yeah, so the results of the survey, like, just blew my mind. Like, 80% of the mums that filled it out, I think it was about 350 mums in the end. And this is just me.
Help us.
This is just me on Facebook, you know, saying, because I don't want to do this. Yeah, 80% said that they felt anxiety or guilt most days.
And is that anxiety around maybe things going wrong or worrying that your baby is okay or anxiety that you're not doing it properly or a bit of all of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone. Yeah. Like, I think all of us experience that fearful thinking and that anxious thinking in ways that are quite unique. But I know for me, a lot of it was around, I'm not good enough mum, I'm not good enough for her, I'm not doing it right.
I don't love her enough because I want time to myself, or like,
I don't know what I'm doing it wrong, there's a better way to do it and I don't know about it. Yeah. You know, all that sort of, it's the opposite of a peaceful state really, where we allow ourselves to just be okay with what we're doing. And then, you know, guilt is just huge. I mean, I'm sure we'll get onto it.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we've definitely got that.
Talking a lot about guilt.
Guilt, yeah. And it was so funny, actually, because I did ask a few of my friends, and I kind of asked them just where, you know, what they would say is the biggest thing, and every single one said dealing with mum guilt. And I actually had a friend here the other day, and if you're listening, I adore you, but she came over and she popped her two young kids on the floor and was like, take them. And she was just like, I need some time alone. I need it, because I'm so lucky I have mums. I have two mums, like two grandparents, that are like looking after the babies a couple of days a week for me to go to work or to go to something. But I never do it so that I can just like be. And she was like, I feel awful thinking that, but like, you know, I'm thinking, should I get a nanny? Should I get an au pair? Am I a bad person for thinking that? And like the guilt that was just riddled over her about the fact that even she wanted time alone. It was actually really quite hard to say. I've never seen, she's like the most bubbly person ever. And it was like, you don't even really think, but that kind of need and desire to be alone, that came up at one of our events as well. And like, what would you say is the kind of most important advice you would give a mum about making sure that they get some time alone to themselves?
Well, the first thing that I'd say is that it's totally okay to crave time. I mean, it's more than okay, it's totally and utterly normal. I mean, if we think about our lives before we had children, when we needed some space, we would just go and get that. You know, even when we had a day off work, that would be a day in bed off work.
Yeah.
That isn't an option now. No. When you're ill, you're still parented.
Yeah, so
I think it's really, really normal to crave that. And a lot of the mums that I work with when I'm coaching mums feel incredible guilt about that. And they make up stories about that.
Mm.
That must mean that I don't love my baby enough. And if we think about that, take that into another relationship, you know, all of us want time away from our friends, from our family, from our husbands, from our partners. That doesn't mean anything about the relationship.
That's so true.
But when it's our kids, we seem to make it mean something that I just don't think it does. So the first thing I'd say is, absolutely, we all need time to ourselves. You know, it's proven now, there are loads of studies that tell us that actually cognitively we need that time and space
to actually be a normal
and we don't need long time. I think there's a sort of rhetoric going around that we need spa weekends and you know, massages, and for 99.9% of mums, utterly unobtainable. I'm talking about, could we get 10-15 minutes of quality time on our own? Is more than hours and hours and hours scrolling Instagram. That's the other thing I'd say, is when you do get time to yourself, try and be mindful, or conscious as I would call it, about how you're spending that time. You know, so many of us get time to ourselves and then don't actually know what to do. So I would say, you know, sit and pop on a guided meditation. There's some on my website. And just allow yourself to actually decompress.
I think you're right. Like, people crave that alone time, and then they sit there interacting with people on their phones. Or even sometimes I'm like, okay, not, I've done my meditation, but like, I'm still craving some downtime. I don't even want to read a book. I don't want to listen to a podcast. I just want to sit in silence or go for a walk. It's very rare that you even be on your own completely. And I do remember the same girl, she came over and I was at a different time, and I was with the kids downstairs, and I went up and she was sitting on my bed reading a magazine. She was like, God, this is lovely. And I kind of realised, and at one of our events actually, Julie said that she gave a really bit of good advice. It was actually all mums that were asking questions, and she was like, take a bath, like go to the bathroom, even if you're not going to sit in the bath.
I do a bath every night. That's like my mini sort of meditation wind down, is that I'll have a bath every night and I'll put candles on. And I might put some like really gentle music on. And just be, and it doesn't need to be long, like 10 minutes can have a massive impact. And I think when we're tired as well, there are some really, really interesting studies coming out now that show that 20 minutes of meditation can be as effective and restorative as an hour's sleep.
Wow, I love it. But I think the biggest thing with meditation is people are like, where do I begin? They overcomplicate the whole process.
And I think when I'm saying meditation, I'm really just using it as a shorthand, to be honest. Meditation can be anything where you're just sitting with yourself. So I'm a massive fan of guided meditations.
And you've got loads of them on your site. That they can
On YouTube, or you can like get an app like Calm is a really nice app. They've got loads of guided meditations. It's basically just a way to
switch off for a minute.
Switch off, yeah, and just be with yourself for 5 minutes. And the impact that that will have on the rest of the day and how you parent is staggering. I mean, I'm like a one-room experiment of what happens when you don't do that, because I ended up heap on the floor. And
yeah,
a lot of the mums that I work with just say to me, I can't believe how different I am. Awesome. Just from having 10 minutes a day just to yourself.
Just to yourself. Well, I am even like that with my relationships with people in my life. Like, if I've meditated in the morning, my day considerably changes. And I can always tell when I'm in a different mood. It's always when I haven't meditated. But how I handle situations with people in either work or friendships, they seem to not bother me, or I handle difficult conversations very well. So I can only imagine that if you're dealing with a child as well, your
this
patience
is sort of why
is
I'm
like,
so passionate about it. I don't think there are like a group in society that need it more.
No, I think you're right.
It's
I can imagine.
Triggering. It's unbelievably difficult. It's always on. You can't reason with a toddler. You know, often they will do stuff that will trigger our own pain, and then we're off into a whole other, you know, world. So I think, you know,
they don't really
it,
know what they're saying, what they're doing, what they just don't know. Like,
just
so true.
And then just creating that like space, that's what I call it, and that what you were talking about, is just a little bit of space between our normal reactions, our normal thinking, and just taking a different choice in the moment. You know, that's the whole concept of, of mindfulness that I teach as well.
No, it's really, I think you're right, there probably isn't a more of a need for it.
I don't think there's a group in society needs this message that, you know, Motherkind is about. And, you know, I hook people up with other teachers as well. It's not just me, and it's not just meditation, although for me, if you work with me, you have to do some just 10 minutes guided. I don't expect people to be doing like...
And what sort of other things do you say are kind of like must-dos if you're a mum? So meditation, like just to kind of be a little bit more mindful and kind of incorporate some you time as well into your life.
So there's three things that I recommend. The first one is some sort of meditation we've talked about. The second one is journaling.
Yeah, I love it. So again, it's hard though.
I tell people to just keep going with it. So 5 minutes. Everyone's got five minutes. You know, we just have to maybe deprioritize something else. Just free writing. Ask yourself a question. Mm-hmm. So this is what I do is, you know, if I sit down, like, you know, buy yourself a beautiful journal.
Mm-hmm.
And people that work with me, I send them a beautiful journal before we start working together. So. And then just ask yourself a question, like, you know, what did I do really well today? Or,
well, I love how you said that, because that's like what you're acknowledging something you've done, gratitude, and you're like...
Yeah, well, that's the other one is I always recommend a gratitude list.
Yeah.
So when with the journaling, you could say, you know, what's going on in my life that I'm trying to avoid? Like these powerful questions that are really empowering questions, because I think especially with mum life, like exactly like you're saying with your friend, a lot of us might be lucky enough to have some childcare, but normally that's so that we can work.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is, and I saw this with my own mum, you know, years and years and years and years of being on that hamster wheel, of being busy, having no time for ourselves, we end up at a place where we didn't often want to end up. Or we're almost like, you know when you drive to work and you're like, how did I get there?
Yeah.
Because you're just
like
your thoughts are
mum. Yeah.
That can happen in our lives as mums, and I see that time and time again.
So it's like clockwork. You're just like doing, you're not being at all.
Yeah, you're not
being
at all, or you're not aware of what's really going on. Everything's operating at such a like surface level, which it has to. You know, the kids need to get to nursery, the food needs to be made, or school, or we need to get to work, the house needs to be clean, we need to do admin. You know, there's a million things. But if we're living life at that level all the time, I think that's a shame.
Yeah.
And journaling is one way into this idea of like a bigger sense. How am I doing? How am I feeling?
Yeah. Actually getting your feelings out that you probably didn't even know were there.
Yes. This is what happens to me every night. So I've been doing this every night.
So you do it in the evenings. I can't figure out if I prefer it in the mornings or the evenings. I feel like it stresses me out a bit in the mornings because I've always got to be somewhere.
Yeah. So the mums that I work with mornings are like...
It's
normally chaos. So I always say, you know, and again, this is why I started Motherkind, because all the stuff I was reading was like, meditate and journal in the morning. And I was like, not if you've got kids that get up at six or earlier and, you know, need you, just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, lunch times can be quite good if you're working, you know, get out of the office or wherever you are for 10, 15 minutes and do it, some writing or evenings. Yeah, I do evenings because Jessie goes down at seven. So
then you've got the,
I've got the evening and I have my bath. I just reconnect,
wind down.
Reconnect
and I guess you wake up
myself.
In a good mood as well because you've like wound down before you've gone to bed.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting that you've like flipped it, because I think I definitely have started journaling. I started doing it on my computer because I wanted to save what I was writing. Right. But then I felt like I wasn't actually feeling what I was meant to be feeling. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. And I actually always advise, there's something about, and there's some studies now that show like a pen with a hand and the way that we're moving our hand and how that works with our brain. So it's interesting.
Truly connect with what
you're
saying.
All this stuff that we've known for years that now the sort of scientific community get interested in and studying and is proving
really
what we've known is that journaling is like a shortcut to...
But also incredible things. Like a lot of my friends that are mums are like at that stage now where they want to go back to work, or they love their children, but you know, they've decided to have two children quite young, or one child quite young, and are now like, I don't know what I want to do, because I miss, I guess maybe the age that they are, they're like, I miss that like transitional period that you've all gone through with work.
Yeah.
And I said, like, have some time and like write down the things that make you happy. And I like can't be a bigger advocate for journaling, because the biggest thing for me is that sometimes things come out that like you would like really trying to figure out, or you didn't even know needed figuring out, and they just come out and you're like, wow, that's what I'm meant to do, or I need to speak to that person.
Always.
Because you allow your thoughts to actually come out. And I know it sounds strange to some of you that maybe haven't ever written before, but just as Zoe said, like getting a piece of paper, getting a book, getting a nice journal,
it
just
sound
writing
weird.
Whatever
and,
happens.
And
yeah.
A lot of people that I work with have real resistance to it. They're like, what would I write? I'm like, it doesn't matter. And I was going to say, that's why I always advise not to do it on the computer, because you don't really ever want to read it back.
No.
And also, a lot of people are like, what if someone reads it? I'm like, honestly, you know, rip them up. It doesn't matter. What's important and why journaling works is it's the process of connecting with what's going on with us. Now, you're not sitting there writing a to-do list.
Yeah.
That isn't journaling. Journaling is asking yourself a powerful question.
How are you feeling?
How am I feeling?
Yeah.
What am I avoiding? What do I want to create more of in my life right now? What struggles am I having with parenting? And does this remind me of anything else in my life? Really powerful questions. And then free writing on those. And it will take a while, but, you know, I've worked with loads and loads of mums now and loads of non-mums as well on this. And it always, people always say, I can't believe the clarity.
You definitely said that journaling is something that we should be going into. And then the next one you said was gratitude, having a little bit more self-bloody respect for what you've achieved and what you've done and like the greatness in your life, I guess.
Exactly.
Right?
Because I think our mum lives are, and lives in general, not just mums, but are so full of getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And often, you know, we know our brains are wired to focus on the negative, the negativity bias. You know, studies have shown that we need 5 positive things to weigh out the impact of 1 negative thing. Mm. And that's the way that our brains are wired.
Yeah.
We cannot change that. But I think it's our responsibility to focus on the good. And if we don't focus on it, we won't see it. So it can feel like all we're seeing is stuff that's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So he didn't eat his food, or I was late to work, or I'm feeling really overwhelmed, or I cannot get on top of the bloody laundry pile. That's my life.
Yeah.
You know, I've got so much life admin to deal with, and I don't know how I'm going to get it done. My mum-in-law's coming at the weekend in the house. It can feel like life just starts to become really joyless.
Yeah.
And just as a practice, if I write down a lot of things, but you know, even 5 things of just stuff that went well.
Every morning, every day, every evening,
every
or morning.
Evening,
yeah.
Just stuff that went well. And then it does rewire your brain. And it's a way of like changing nothing in your life, but actually noticing the good stuff. And some people say, oh, I've got nothing to be grateful for. And I'm like, well,
of course you have. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you manage to get out of bed this morning?
Yeah.
Did you have 2 legs that walked you to the bathroom and you had fresh water?
Yeah.
Like most of the planet
can't
walk and get fresh, clean drinking water. So I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about big things. Like I think sometimes people think writing about things we're grateful for, like I got promotion, or it's the opposite. It's the tiny little things that make us think, actually,
That's a really good thing. No, I mean, I definitely do that. And I have to say again, I think it's one of those things that if you're new to this, because I know a lot of my mum friends will be listening to this, like I don't meditate, I don't journal, like, and they'll probably be going, oh, really? Like, really? Can I do that? Can I? And there is a resistance to it. But I think it's one of those things that until you do it that one time and you see how much your mind rewires, your day changes and everything else unfolds completely differently.
Well, resistance is really normal. We tend to resist anything that's different or new, you know, even like, you know, changing our breakfast cereal. We tend to resist, you know, because we like habits and we like doing things the way we've done things. So I always say, like, don't listen to what I say, try it. And if in 10 days, you know, you've done this every day and you feel no different, try something else. Yeah. You know, and that can be exciting in itself, thinking, I am responsible, you know, a core part of mother culture. Yeah. You know, we are responsible for our experience of our lives.
Yes.
And part of that is thinking, what can I do? And it might be journaling, it might be gratitude, it might be meditation, it might be yoga, might be getting out in the sun, might be working with a coach, might be that you need to get therapy, that loads of your childhood stuff's coming up as a result of parenting that happened all the time.
Yeah, I was just about to go on to that.
So, yeah,
I think... That was the bit that I forgot. Again, like, I think what you're saying, all these things that you're saying are so relatable with everything in life.
Yeah, of course.
But I can imagine how heightened it is when your mum and... One of the things you're really talking about is, like, have I done this correctly and have I done that correctly? And one of the biggest things that's come out of all of our podcasts is the need to kind of be following rules and regulations and restrictions. So whether it's a diet that everyone's doing at that moment in time, whether you're weight training, not training. One of the biggest things that came out of my workshop the other week was, well, how do I meditate? And people aren't listening to what feels good for them.
Yeah.
So what you're basically saying is the same thing. It's like, find what you enjoy or what works for you instead of worrying about what others are doing. And you mentioned right at the beginning about comparison.
Yeah.
Does that stem from this need of, like, looking like the perfect mum all the time? So I know that's a big thing I've seen amongst a lot of my friends with kids, is that they've got this desire to be, like, the perfect mum. And I don't know, who is that for? Is that for themselves?
I think it's multi-layered.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is, often before we have kids, we have masked maybe some of our low esteem by controlling everything and by trying to make things seem perfect in our lives. And when you throw kids into the mix, that absolutely, it just doesn't happen. Like, you can't control perfect, kids and you can't make kids perfect. Yeah. Therefore, so often we're confronted with that coping mechanism we can't use anymore.
Mm.
And that's where often a lot of the anxiety can come from, because we're trying to control and make things perfect and seem successful. So a lot of us through our 20s have been used to success.
Yeah.
We've been used to having good jobs, getting promotion, like meeting someone, falling in love or not, or whatever your path is to motherhood. Yeah. And then suddenly we're asked to totally redefine what this idea of success is and perfect is. And what I see a lot of mums is taking those tools into motherhood, and it does not work, because you can't be successful at motherhood. Like, you can't, there's no promotion, there's no no review, there's nothing. You just
have to figure it out.
So I think that's the first thing that can happen. I think the second thing that can happen is that we love our kids. I know when I had Jessie, I just couldn't believe how much I loved her.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite universal. Yeah. It's like, I can't believe, and I just would do anything to be the best mum that I can be for her. And I think if we haven't learned how to hold that idea quite lightly, that can bring with it a massive dose of perfectionism. So I want to be the best mum for her. Everyone does. People then set themselves crazy, like, I'm going to cook her organic, homemade, three meals a day, every day. I'm never going to shower her. I am always going to be present. I'm never, because it comes from such a good place, but actually a lot of it is totally unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of our guilt can come from. So I think, you know, what I teach, I talk about a lot, is wanting to be the best mum is amazing. I think we all want that. I don't think there's anyone that becomes a mum who's like, oh, you know. But I think the freedom in that is learning to be a good enough mum. And actually teaching our kids how to be perfectly imperfect.
Yeah,
and teaching
that's lovely.
Them
But actually they need to learn
that. They need to learn that. They don't want a perfect mum. They need a real mum who can teach them how to handle adversity, who teaches them what it looks like when your day goes wrong and you're able to laugh about it anyway.
Yeah.
Who sees us go through stress, overwhelm, change, and handle it.
And handle it. That's
by
what they need to
expressing
see.
Our feelings, by dealing with it, by allowing ourselves to get help when we need. Like, that's what they need to be modelled to them, not...
Yeah, that's actually so interesting. Never thought of it, because we carry so much as children. And we'll go on to that, but I think we're now nicely leading on to mum guilt.
Right.
So it's a huge phenomenon. Like, it's such a big thing. And I guess everything I've seen with my friends, I've been like, oh, do you want to come out this weekend? And they're like, oh, like, it's really bad. Like, how can I go out for a drink? And I've got kids that are young. Like, and actually spoken to a friend last night about it, and she was like, you know, it is a really, really big thing. Talk to me about what is going on in this kind of, like, what is it that stems that just the need to be perfect, or where is this coming from?
Yeah,
that whole mum guilt.
It's massive.
Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You do a lot of work on it in the industry, and it's kind of one of your big focus points, isn't it, to kind of help mums overcome it?
Yeah, just because, or just make friends with it, partly. I mean, I think when I became a mum, I was sort of shocked, because I'd come from this background of, like, I'd been well into personal development and spirituality, and, you know, really believe that we all deserve to feel good about ourselves, and I believe I deserve to feel good about ourselves, and, you know, as one of our favourite teachers, Gabby Bernstein, says, joy is our birthright.
Yeah.
So then when I became a mum, two things really shocked me. One was the rhetoric around drinking, but we'll get into that later, maybe. That we should deal with the stress of motherhood through gin, which I absolutely don't think we should. And so the other thing, which is just feeling guilty, is part of being a mum, that it's fine for us to constantly feel guilty. And I was really surprised by that, because guilt is such a negative.
Yeah, such a powerful feeling.
Powerful feeling. And I think, you know, I talk a lot about the difference between guilt and shame.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get into it. So I thought, God, I don't think it's okay to feel guilty all the time. So I sort of talk about guilt. There's two types of guilt. So the first guilt, which we've been talking about a bit, which is totally unreasonable guilt.
Yeah.
So when we feel guilty for wanting time alone, when we feel guilty for working even, when we feel guilty that we haven't been the perfect mum that day, I would say that's totally unreasonable guilt. And I encourage mums to look at, what are the standards that you're setting yourself? What's really important comes back to values. What's really important for you and your family? And if it is around, say, healthy eating, like, what could you set yourself? It's a really realistic goal.
Yeah.
And it comes back to just being much, much kinder to ourselves. And in my experience of working with mums with this, like, 90% of guilt comes from that place of it's unreasonable guilt. And then actually what's interesting is when you work with mums, and I speak to lots of mums, and often that feeling of not being good enough has been ever present. And it really manifests, as I was saying, because we love our kids and we so want the best for them. And I think, you know, some people have said, well, actually, if I'm honest, I've always felt a bit not good enough at work. And I've always felt a bit guilty when I've been on holiday and not checked my emails. I've always felt a bit guilty. So
it's actually, I think, just heightening something that's already there.
I think a lot
there.
Of us have that in our relationship with ourselves. Actually, 100%. It's not okay to just be enough.
Yeah.
And it totally is okay to be enough. In fact, the best gift that we can teach our kids is their enoughness.
Yeah.
Is that then, as they are, perfectly imperfect, scrabbling through life, doing our best. Like, that's freedom, you know, and that's happiness.
That's
so
nice.
I think that's the first thing on the guilt, is that mostly we just need to be kinder to ourselves and give ourselves a break. And actually, I've been reading loads of studies about this. I'm a bit of a study geek.
That's
you can
amazing.
Probably tell, but
yeah,
there was a study done a couple of years ago in America, and it was quite big, like 5,000 mums, and there was actually no difference in the level of guilt experience between working mums and stay-at-home mums.
Wow.
So this isn't about whether we work or not.
Yeah, that's
so stay-at-home mums experience
just as much
guilt, you know, and that guilt might be coming from a place of, I don't have a place in the world anymore. You know, or sometimes the stay-at-homers were saying, well, I feel guilty when I've got so much cleaning and stuff to do in the house and I'm not with the kids. And the working mums are saying, well, I'm not with the kids because I'm working. You know,
it's just the general epidemic of...
Yeah, so it's this general feeling of I'm not good enough. And, and my message on the kind is, you absolutely are good enough. And we need to give ourselves a break and be kinder to ourselves, which, of course, is what it's called.
Motherkind. That's such a lovely name.
And then the second guilt is reasonable guilt.
Yeah.
So often in our pre-mum life, we might feel guilty when we forgot to send a friend a birthday card,
mm-hmm.
or we did something, we were like, oh, that doesn't align to who I am in the world.
Yeah.
So there are feelings of guilt which are reasonable. So, for example, if you want to parent and one of your core values is around communication and constructive communication, and you find yourself yelling at your kids for everything they do and like that snappy, curt, maybe sarcastic, like just put your effing shoes on tone, if that is happening all the time and you're feeling guilty about that, that's probably a reasonable feeling of guilt.
Yeah.
Because guilt tends to arise when we act out of the way, isn't in line with who we want to be or our values. So then I would say, get aware of that.
Yeah.
So why am I feeling guilty about this? Because it's not how I want to show up as a parent. And then it's an invitation to do some inner work.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Why are you shouting at your kids all the time? And I'm not talking about the odd, you know, snappy.
Yeah.
Everyone does that. I'm talking about a deviation that feels
constant,
quite big from a core value.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the mums I work with say, I'm exhausted.
Mm.
And then I would work with them to be like, okay, how can we get some more breaks in your day? Or I'm so stressed at work. And when they don't put their shoes on to get out the door and I think my boss is going to shout at me to be late for another meeting, it blows my lid. And then I might teach them some mindfulness techniques, or we might start having training to have some courageous conversations at work about going in at a different time. So I think it's about using these emotions, and this is what I'm so passionate about, is I think we can use any of our emotions to get to know ourselves better and make things nicer for ourselves and our families. It's not about ignoring it or accepting that guilt is part of being a parent. It's about, am I feeling constantly guilty for things that I shouldn't be? Unreasonable guilt. Then it's working on that self-love muscle.
Yeah, which is the same thing, I guess, as even someone... I think there's two things I'm like... really interested in what you're saying as someone that doesn't have children but either does have friends or is very much at a point in her life like, I would have children tomorrow, like I'm at that stage. Two things is how amazing it is that actually, God, you need to teach your children. Like, we learn so much from childhood, like, and we'll probably stem onto that. Yeah, and we'll stem onto that, because I actually do want to talk about how you're saying, like, things come up from the past and childhood.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, that's a lot of stuff that I've been dealing with the last year or so, is actually from childhood situations and my upbringing, without having a dad there and my mum having to go out to work. But I think it's so nice that you're putting it in a perspective of knowing that your child needs to learn all these things, needs to learn that we can't be perfect all the time, needs to know that it's... So that element is, like, super interesting, I think. And I think that's going to really resonate with a lot of people.
And showing them our emotions is the greatest...
Because you want to be, like, strong around them, and you want to be calm around them all the time, you don't want to lose your shit around them. And, like, also the husband situation as well. Like, obviously everyone has different husband-boyfriend situations, whether it's single parent, not... whether they're working, not working. But I've seen that be a big thing in the industry, and the situation of, like, my friends that have got kids, is dealing with trying to have that self-care and making their other halves understand that, or...
This is why, like, I just think if there's any group that needs support, it's mums entering to motherhood. Because not only are you having to grapple with a whole new version of yourself.
Yeah.
Who am I now? I'm a mum. God, I'm a mum.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I still don't really feel like a mum. It's strange.
Mm.
I spoke to Julie Montague and she was like,
I'm sure
I've got four kids
yeah.
and I still don't feel like a mum.
Yeah.
And that gave me loads of, you know, comfort. But, You know, so I'm a mum now. I'm trying to navigate this relationship with probably the most important little being that's ever come into my life. And that is bringing up, as we've been talking about, maybe all my control, maybe all my perfectionism, maybe all my guilt. That's coming up. And then, on top of that, we've also got to deal with our partners or not, or whatever's going on there. So it does dramatically, in my experience, change that dynamic, that relationship. That person is bringing their own stuff. Then you've got to work out how you're going to co-parent together. So aligning on values, things like sleeping arrangements when the baby's young. Is the baby going to be in the bed? Is it going to be in their own room? Are you going to breastfeed, bottlefeed? You know, all these things that you've got to agree on. Before that moment, you've never really, you might have had like the whole, what colour should we paint the wall? Where should we live? You know, but it's very different.
Very surface level,
And then you've got all of the extended family, and I'm sure loads of listeners experience this. You've got to deal with mum-in-laws and your mums and your dads and cousins and friends who all think that you should do it a certain way. Yeah. So, you know, often when mums come to me, they'll just be like bruised and exhausted and from all this sort of change. And if we haven't got the tools, and this is what I'm so passionate about teaching, if we haven't got the tools...
Where do you go?
Often, as you know, we've been talking about, if we haven't been taught that through our own childhoods, we won't know it. And so many of us are like, I'm going to do it differently than my mum. But the sort of heartbreaking thing is...
No, you're not.
Well, if we don't become aware of it, conscious, I would say... If you think about our actions, reactions, mind as like, you know, grooves on record, those grooves are set for us in our first 5 years of life. We know that.
Yeah.
If we don't consciously change those grooves through what I was talking about, meditation, therapy, coaching, yoga, journaling, if we don't consciously do something about that, we will just repeat those grooves. And that's where people go, oh my God, I sound like my mum, or oh my God, I've just done exactly what was done to me, or oh my God, I can't believe, you know, and in some ways that can be really positive. So I do an exercise with mums where I get them to say, what do you want to take from your childhood? All the good things, like you're talking about with your mum, it sounds like she was really hardworking, really dedicated. And then what are the things that you would like to do differently? Because if we don't become aware of it, we honestly just repeat the whole thing, for better or worse.
Honestly, as someone who doesn't have children, it is honestly the most interesting thing. So I don't think you could be more spot on with how much of a need there is.
It's
how
fascinating.
It is so fascinating, because also the self-work that I've been doing on myself the last year or so, a lot of it does root from my childhood, and a lot of it does root from the way that my mum was, and like we're best friends now, but she was so stressed as a mum when I was a kid because she was so busy trying to make money so that we could live, because it was only her.
To do the best for you.
To do the best for me.
Yeah,
so there was that like... by guilt kind of going on, because I was like, oh my God, she's doing this for me. And she...
Well, that's the other thing with guilt, is that often we can unconsciously make our kids feel guilty.
Yeah, which is why I'm thinking, like, now when I see my friends struggling or kind of really battling things, I'm like, actually, if I look back at where a lot of my stuff came from, me and my mum went and saw someone together, and he was like, who do you think in this relationship is stressing who out? He was like a spiritual guy. It's brilliant. I went, oh, well, I'm stressing her out. She's worried about me. And it was when I was going through a really transitional stage with my job. I was leaving my job. And I was like broken with deciding what I wanted to do. And he went, wrong. And looked at my mum and he went, you're stressing her out. You're stressing out your daughter because you're worrying about her all the time. And you're guilty for her childhood all the time. Mm. So now she's stressed and feels your guilt on her. Mm. And I think that that's where maybe it's worth people, even if you're listening to this and you're pregnant, I know that there'll be some of my friends probably listening to this who are pregnant and like getting themselves ready for it.
Well, I do a workshop. I did one on Saturday for pregnant
mums. Did
you? Yeah, it's called Becoming Mum. Because I think there's so much out there about this is how you give birth, and this is how you bottle feed, and this is how you do this. And I was like, where's the conversation about the emotional side of this?
I was just about to say that to you. So you're learning so many new things as to like how to do this, 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 I've got to do this, I can't eat this. They're dealing with all the different foods they can't eat. That lifestyle.
That stuff's all super important, but that's not my bag. Like,
no, but where's the time for you to learn about, you know what, if you've got a little bit of OCD or anxiety right now, you might want to sort that out before you have your child, or you might want to start doing work on that. Like, I have, again, got friends in that position who I'm, like, a little bit worried about when they have their children, because I'm like, you need to work on that before. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's going to maybe come up when it happens.
And you have to trust your journey as well. Yeah. You know, everyone's on their own journey and stuff gets brought up to be healed at exactly the right time that it's meant to. Yeah. So we can't push people into these things, but I wanted to create a space and a different conversation. So
really,
I run these Becoming Mum workshops where we do exactly that exercise I said. You know, what values do you want to bring into your life as a mum, as a family? What do you want to take from your family? What do you want to leave behind? You know, honour and let go.
Yeah.
And then we talk about a self-care plan for the early days. So how are you going to look after you? It's a 3-hour workshop. People can look on my website for other dates.
I think I've noticed with all the work that I've done with like workshops and stuff is the self-care conversation is really tough because people don't get it until they're in. Like, we're in this epidemic, whether it's health, whether it's anything, of like, until it's preventative, is not really there. It's like, when I'm dealing with that issue...
Yeah, the problem is that with a baby or a family, whatever age they are, you can't stitch your parachute on the way down.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to plan for this before you find yourself exhausted and depleted with a 9-month-old or a 19-year-old. You have to know what are your triggers, you know, what are the feelings that you're likely to go to? Is it anxiety? Is it overwhelm? Is it anger? Is it a combination of all three in the same 5 minutes? And what are the really simple tools that you can go to that you know are going to make you feel better? Yeah. You've got to plan for it before you're in that situation. It's too hard in the moment when you're on the floor, and we all know what that feels like. There's no way you're going to think, what I need to do is have a glass of water and a walk in nature.
Yeah.
You're going to think, what I need to do is put my head under the duvet, eat the whole bar of dairy milk and drink a ton of coffee, which is fine. Yeah. But if you're doing that every day, that's not fine.
It's not fine. Yeah, you're so right. And then I guess you talked about, it was actually after you gave birth that everything kind of like went a little bit out of control for you. Yeah. Your like mental health kind of went in. And again, friends I've spoken to at one point came to me like, I think I'm a bit depressed. Or what is it that causes like postnatal depression? I know it's quite a big Trojan of a conversation, but like, is it almost, I'm trying to reference it to like things that I understand. Like postnatal depression can be like really seen to be this very big thing that people don't want to diagnose themselves with necessarily, but there's probably a big surface level of depression going on amongst
I mean, I'm not a therapist and I'm not trained in postnatal depression, so I sort of would never advise people medically from that perspective. What I would say is, you know, there's loads of resources online, have a look. If you feel like you have postnatal depression, go to your GP and get help. But I think it's a good point. I didn't have postnatal depression, but I think, like you say, there's shades of it. There's something called postnatal depletion, and I absolutely related to that, where I just felt like life had become a bit grey internally. Like, I struggled to find the joy. It's sort of, you know, Jessie would wake me up by crying at 5 a.m. and I would sort of think, oh God, it's another day. You know, that like depletion.
Yeah.
It's different than the under depression.
Yeah,
you know, if you look down
that
chest.
It's like a more surface, probably affecting more women.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's affecting a lot of women. I actually think there are a lot of women out there in those first couple of years who just feel a bit flat a lot of the time. And it's only when we start to come out of it, like I am now, Jessie's 2.5, and I've got my spring back in my step, and I look back, I think, God, I remember the time when like trying to get a load of washing done felt like climbing Everest. Just that exhaustion and that feeling like wading through treacle a little bit. So I would say get help and support around that. Know that that's, you know, normal. There's nothing wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. It is a time of huge transition in our bodies. And I think we also need to change the conversation around getting our bodies back. And I would love, if Motherkind could do one thing, I'd like to focus it on sorting our mental health and thinking about looking after ourselves before we go anywhere near a gym or a HIIT class.
So that was going to be where I was leading on to. Do you think a lot of mums just kind of, I've seen it with my friends, they're like, literally, baby out, gym, hi, I need to get back into shape. So there's that, and this is probably where our work really aligns quite well, is actually my whole message at the moment as a PT is like, people are going to the gym with absolutely no connection from their mind. They're going from a place of hate. They're going from a place of, I need to get this done. I have to, otherwise I'm going to feel guilty if I don't.
Well, it's fear-based, isn't it? It's like, I've had a baby, my body's changed, and that's hard for a lot of people. If they've been used to feeling really good about their, you know, what their body looks like. You know, our boobs sag, and our belly sags, and everything changes about our body. And what I would say is, coming from that energy of punishing our bodies and wanting to get straight back in shape. You know, I like deep conversations. So if someone came to me like that, I would ask them, you know, what is in it? What is it in you that makes you feel like you have to have this perfect body back? And often it comes back to what we're talking about with the guilt. Not good enough.
Yeah. I'm not loving yourself enough.
Don't love myself. I'll love myself when I've got my six pack back. Well, if our love for ourselves is conditional, you know, we'll put that onto something else or something else, and we will never feel good about ourselves, and that's a shame, and we don't want to teach that to our girls,
which is what I worry about, because I think we are creating, working with so many girls at this level of, you know, that transitional stage of their life who haven't got kids yet, what they're doing to their bodies and their mindset, I can't imagine what's going to happen when they do start having children.
Well, the positive is a lot of mums that I talk to, it massively changes that. So
things has to go out of the window, kind of.
But also, I think when you have children, it's this is why I think it's a great window for this kind of conversation, because you naturally are going to think about, what am I telling my children about bodies? You know, what am I telling my girls or my son, or, you know, about how I feel about myself? Can I be confident however I look? And, you know, there's a great documentary, Embrace, isn't there? And she talks about that in there, that actually having children was one of the triggers for her to look at her behaviour. And I think there's such a natural window of time when we become mums where we think, what am I really doing here? You know, what really are my values? What really do I do? What do I want to pass on? You know, it's like it's a natural like time of consciousness.
Best time of healing,
Best time of healing. Unfortunately, you have no time, and that's where I come in. But yeah, so I do see a lot of mums who say, I've learned to love my body. I think also the process of your body growing another human, watching your body birth with zero intervention from you. So if you think about it, we do nothing and our body grows. It just knows how to do it. And it knows how to birth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've found such a reverence for my body.
Probably makes you see finally for the first time in your life what an amazing thing your body, without like having to think about it or force yourself to think about it, you're shown how incredible your body is and what it can do.
I'm still blown away by it when I think about it, and I really geeked out on learning about what happens to our bodies and the biology of it and how perfect, you know, you go through birth and the exact right amount of hormones are released in your body at exactly the right time to deal with the exact point at which you're in labour. It's insane. And when you get into it, you know, the things that happen between breastfeeding and, you know, I'm not an advocate for breastfeeding at all. I think do what you've got to do. But when you get into the science, it's mind-blowing of what our bodies are doing. And I think if we can take that then into the relationship with what our bodies look like, and I know you do a lot of work on this, and I'll talk about it. I think it can be a real time for transforming that and moving our bodies lovingly. That's why I love yoga.
Yeah.
For mums and new mums. And
just
I think
it in general, changed my life.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And I think I'm not a physical health expert, and I'm not a woman's health expert, but there are lots of amazing, amazing ones out there. And I think our pelvic floors, you know, we shouldn't be at HIIT classes or even running.
No.
So I think there's lots of amazing people on Instagram. The Mummy Coach is great on this, and Mother's Wellness Toolkit, they're both Pilates teachers who talk amazing. A lot about this. But we need to be careful, and if you're going to start exercising, make sure you've had a postnatal check.
Yeah.
Don't just like start running.
So you again, same thing though. When you're saying, if I was to say to you, what would you say to a mum who wants to get back, or just even feeling good? Maybe she's like, I don't want the perfect body, but I just want to go to the gym, but to feel good. It is literally just having that mindset. Would you say the biggest advice you would give them is to just keep your mindset about you as to like why you're going?
Yeah, I think wanting to move our bodies and have a bit of time out is amazing. I'm like massive championing of that. For me, I would do a walk around the common or a really gentle yoga class. I think it's all about the intention. So come back to, what is your intention?
Yeah.
If your intention is, I feel uncomfortable in my skin, I cannot bear my new saggy belly, and I want to go and pound it out, and it comes from that harsh, punishing place, that's really different, really different than, I want to move my body, I want to get into nature, I want to do some gentle stretching. I mean, I did some gentle stretching on like day 3 of Jessie, because I just wanted to get into my body. You know, it's a lovely way of getting out of our heads. You know, we drop into our body and we give our crazy overthinking minds a break, which is what we need when we're in that.
But that's the thing, it's this moving from a place of intention, and like, that is everything that I'm trying to get girls to do, and I'm about to launch my own class method on it, because it's like moving from a place of love, from a place of intention. There's no better feeling than when you go to work out with a mindset of love, like, and a mindset of being like, yeah, I'm doing this for myself because I want to and it feels good.
And then we can shed all the rules, can't we? Because the rules don't apply anymore.
They're irrelevant. And I think that that's such a message anyway in general. I guess the biggest thing that I'm taking away from what you've said is that it's A, what do you want to pass on? And whenever you're feeling a little bit in different places, that really, like, all of these messages are what we want to pass on to our children, like what we want to pass on, like being a reflection of that. But I guess really the key thing here, and it's so interesting, is like, it's journaling, it's writing down your feelings, it's meditating, it's being more conscious and more mindful.
Doing the inner work.
Yeah.
Or work sounds a bit there. And one of my programs that I run for months,
it's called,
Reconnect to You. And it's exactly about that. You know, we can lose ourselves, and actually motherhood, as I was talking about, is such a good window to heal all that stuff that we don't need anymore. All those beliefs that we had about ourselves, I'm not enough, I need to be perfect. You know, we can choose to bring all that into our parenting and make it way harder than it needs to be. Or we could choose to be way kinder to ourselves.
So
part of being kinder to ourselves is looking at ourselves. It's not letting ourselves do whatever we want. That's not self-kindness.
Yeah.
Self-kindness is going, why don't I feel good?
Often,
as you were talking about, it will come back to some modelling or some message that we subconsciously picked up in our first five years and we're still playing out.
That you didn't even know that you
didn't
picked
even
it up.
Know.
That's the tough part, is like, you realise things. I literally had this conversation with my mum yesterday. We went to visit my dad's tree. And she was like, you weren't affected by it, were you? And I was like, yeah, no, I really was. Because he died before I was born. So I kind of like never had. It's a really interesting story. And like, he died on my due date and I was 2 weeks late. And I always kind of felt like I never lost. Like, because I never lost. And I said to her, I was like, I always kind of felt not worthy of feeling bad about it because you lost your husband a week before a brand new baby came into the world, then you had to deal with that life, and my sister was 7 and had to handle that. So I guess I was always like, subconsciously felt sorry for you two and couldn't imagine the world that you two were living in while I was a baby, you know, handling this most amazing miracle, because my mum couldn't have children, so it was a bit of a miracle, handling that emotion whilst also handling the fact that your husband's just died. I guess I kind of always thought, who am I to feel loss? And actually, it's now I'm 28 and I'm doing a lot of inner work. I really did lose out big time by not having that father figure. And my mum chose not to remarry because she thought she was protecting me.
Of course.
So, like, 100%. Like, I think it's such a good time. And now you're talking about it. And I'm at a time of my life where I'm like, you know what? I'd love to have children in the next few years. It makes me even feel like, okay, it's really important that I deal with all my inner... Like, you know, I finish this off because I want to make sure that I do not bring that in to another life. So I know that my friends will probably be listening to this going, okay, how do I work with Zoe? Like, what do I do? I know they will. I know it's going to happen. So I know you have two coaching programs where they get to work with you one-to-one.
Yeah.
And then they follow kind of suit with work throughout that time.
Yeah.
Just literally briefly, because we're literally running out of time, just explain those programs.
Well, they're all on the website,
you?
Which is motherfriend.co, but I've got two coaching programs. One's called Reconnect to You, which is, who am I now? I'm experiencing all these feelings. I don't know how to handle this new life. I really help people for 3 months of working with me just to come back to themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a structured program using loads of techniques that I've learned across my coaching, across NLP, meditation, yoga. So it brings in all my trainings and it's quite a transformational program. And the next one is about guilt. It's called Freedom from Guilt, which isn't really that you will never feel guilt again, it's that you make peace with your guilt. So it's like I was talking about, we help categorize where's all this guilt coming from. Normally it's that people are being way too hard on themselves. So I will help them and mirror them, and I've got all the studies, so I know, you know, when someone's saying I'm a working mum and my kid's going to be screwed up forever, I can say, actually, there was a study done last year, so the kids are working mums turn out to be happier, more successful.
Yeah.
You know, I've got all of these stats, so I can help people.
Probably should have done a facts and fads, like stats.
I'm all into my stats because I think it's really helpful. And
how people rationalise it.
Studies are like, whatever, you know, there are loads of studies, but I just think the fact that someone's looked at it, and you always take it with a pinch of salt, but in my experience, it's really helpful to say, this showed this, and everything that your head is telling you hasn't been proven. Your head is telling you something that isn't true. So that's Freedom from Guilt. Yeah. And then I run talks. I'm doing a talk with you, aren't in June, middle of June. 14th of June. I'm at Wilderness doing
I'm doing Wilderness, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I am doing workshops. It's all on the...
Great. So yeah, it'll all be in the bottom of this podcast and the link to Zoe's site. And also she's got lots of meditations on there, which I highly encourage all of my friends that are listening to get on the
board. And my own podcast.
Yes.
I just feel that, just to sort of thing.
She also has her own podcast. So for all of you, that actually is probably like godsend to all of you, because I think it will help you do all.
Yeah, so on the podcast, I speak to some of like the UK's and the world's actually best well-being thinkers and therapists, and I get them to put their teachings all through the lens of motherhood.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So check that out. That will also be, I'll put the link in that at the bottom of this. Thank you so, so much for tuning in, and thank you, Zoe,
thank you for coming.
It's been a pleasure.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast Series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below, and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.